From Universal Studios Hollywood in beautiful Los Angeles, California.
ToadHopNetwork.com.
Radio worth watching.
Radio worth watching.
Live. From Universal Studios Hollywood in beautiful Los Angeles, California.
This is About Last Night with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
On the Toad Hop Network.
What's up, everybody? This is Brad Williams, and we've got Adam Ray here.
Yeah.
And this is the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're listening to us on ToadHopNetwork.com.
Episode 5.
Episode 5? Really? Are we 5 in already?
Already, man. Time flies when time flies when you got a podcast with a midget. You know? I think that's the saying. What's that? No.
Oh, and in studio, that other voice you hear in studio is our esteemed guest. We are happy to welcome Mr. Jeff Richards, everybody.
Woo! Jeff Richards. Go ahead and talk to that mic.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to be here.
There he is. Look at you, buddy.
There we go.
Sounding. Look at that beautiful set of pipes.
Jeff, you know, as the only person ever in history, right, to be on both Mad TV and Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, and Al right? Gore was the other one.
Wow, that's well, that's
solid. Look at this iceberg.
Well, that's great.
You still remember that?
It's great that you share that distinction with him. I mean, that's awesome. If you could also share the fact that you invented the internet, you'd probably be richer. Sure. But you know, whatever. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other things you guys have in common, right?
Sure. Similar sized testicles. Similar sized. Why not?
Oh, we had a little fuzzy thing with the mic. That was not Jeff doing a Darth Vader impression. That was him actually talking to the microphone. What? That's I think 3 weeks in a row now we've had microphone trouble here on
Maybe
About
they
Last
should
Night.
Change this network to the we're gonna fix the mic. I swear by episode 12 network.com.
It's all right.
But other people use this studio.
There we go.
Yeah. And
they do, yeah.
So they should get it down, right?
Now, Jeff. So you also tour the country doing stand up with fellow SNL alum Chris Kattan.
Doing that right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Chris. My impression of Chris.
No words.
They have really good fries here. I had the Caesar salad. It was great.
Wait, was that Sandy?
That's what he says. I said, how's it fit? He goes, I had the Caesar salad. It was great.
It's a terrible Chris.
He sounds like he's gargling in the middle of talking.
Did you become friends with them on SNL or afterwards?
I don't think I have become friends with them yet.
But you're just kind of touring with them, like, well, you know, it's a way to make money.
We became friendly after the show.
Yeah.
He was nice to me when I was on SNL, though. He's always like, you're funny. he was nice.
You were funny. I'm not going to say this to blow smoke up your ass, but
you don't smoke.
Cigarettes. And most people go, pot? No, crack. Is what I put in a pipe.
Crack with Kanye.
See, and that's why I'm not cool with it yet, because you know the cool slang words for crack. Crack with Kanye.
Crack with Kanye.
Yeah.
You have a great radio voice, by the way.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey. Hey, I'm Adam Ray.
I get to listen to this every week.
It's Adam Ray.
you're almost
I make
like
a video every 4 hours.
Oh, that's a good impression.
Yeah. I get to listen to this every week. People are like, are you having fun doing a podcast? It's like, absolutely, because Adam Ray gets to seduce me every week with that voice, and he's got like a little Johnny Cash in him.
Yeah.
Like a little bit, what's up, everybody? I'm Johnny
little
Cash.
Little Johnny Cash, little
Hello,
Tony Danza.
I'm Johnny Cash.
the man in black.
My dick is hard as hell.
Was that on the third album or the second
dick,
album?
Hard as hell dick.
Dick is hard as hell dick.
Hard as hell dick.
Yeah.
Common dick.
How did it? Well, no, so, but in all seriousness, man, like, I've been an SNL fan for a long time. There's cast members that are great that are on there, and some that you're like, oh, wow, there's probably other people they could have picked.
You are definitely one of the no,
but dude, like you, like they're for me a great cast member, somebody who not only does great impressions because it obviously you have to be able to do that because there's so many topical things and the show kind of prides itself right on like being topical, but original characters to me is like super hard to do because it's something that you're creating based off of either people right that you've met or that you've run into and or that you're coming up with it on your own. The impression is still based on somebody, even though emulating somebody is a skill in its own. But and your original characters, man, are fucking unbelievable.
Drunk Girl's my favorite.
Unbelievable, but even your frat guy. And I mean, just like I was telling you, did you get my text the other night? I was watching an old SNL.
I don't have a phone.
Yes, and first rule of improv.
This is not going to work out.
I was terrible on improv. Those are the groundlings. I had one level in the groundlings, and they're like, "You need to do this again." And I was like, "I think I'm just going to do stand up."
That's how they make their money, though.
I would just stop everything and make a joke and kill the whole scene.
So they were like, "We're at a golf course." Like, fuck that, dude. We're getting hot dogs.
Golf course? What do you mean golf course? We're in a parking garage. Ding! You know.
Yeah, which is funny. When you create an original character, I've taken, one workshop and didn't do anything for me.
What
did
they teach you?
In this one workshop, they told me to walk around leading with a certain body part, and based on that body part, you can kind of develop a character based on that.
Yeah, some people do that, right?
So, you lead on a soldier or something. You walk out with your chin, and then you automatically start talking like Leno.
Right, yeah.
If you lean in with your chin, then immediately you got to go into this voice. Yeah.
Nice to see you. Good to have you here.
Oh, it's the Battle of the Late Night Wars here.
My name is David Letterman. And nice going.
Oh, my name's Jay Leno. How you doing?
Now I'm going to do my Fallon impression and just look into the camera and laugh.
No, that's the greatest. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Whoa! That's so great, so funny. Oh my god! Van Halen. Whoa!
Right, that's my Fallon.
Nobody's that happy.
Jimmy's a very happy dude, man.
Maybe he is that happy.
Maybe he is, man. He looks like he genuinely loves his job.
How can you not, though?
Yeah, you're getting... I think he's actually a fan of all
those... But would you want to do that every night?
I could hang out with... Do funny things with Bruce Springsteen every night. He's not doing Bruce stuff every night, but... Those sketches where he does, Bruce Springsteen and Neil Young sing "Whip Your Hair" back and forth. I think they did that video.
Yeah, his
I don't know, but I just think so much of it, and it's not his... It's no fault of Jimmy Fallon's or anybody that does a late-night talk show, but... you have to pretend you're happy to see Miley Cyrus. Oh my god, I can't believe you just said that. It's so great. It's gotta be tough.
Right, when De Niro comes on, or Dave Matthews or Sandler, who he's big fans of, or Springsteen, he has no problem, or Eddie Murphy, of showing off how big of a fan he is.
Right.
But, when people like that are clearly, and he has to put it on and
all
still.
Right, today we're very excited to have Heidi and Spencer.
Oh god,
everybody.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. But I guess, happy times!
But the paycheck's coming in, and you need, right?
So I'm sure there's a lot of ways to enjoy it, yeah. I'm just saying, there's got to be that part of... That's got to be the hardest part of, having to deal with, guests that you're just not...
Sure, and into. Especially because, when you go through the ringer and get on SNL, I'm sure the audition process...
Yeah, what was it like?
Yeah.
The easiest thing ever.
You sent him an email?
Honestly, it was really weird how easy it was.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They just walked you
on the street. One audition, 5 minutes. Didn't have to do another audition. Just because I got to go straight to network. I just lucky. The timing of it was just like.
How do they even find you? Because they're scouting people all over.
I had good management at the time.
Still looking.
Not bitter.
Yeah.
Because people, what are the hubbubs for SNL scout? The Second City in Chicago, Groundlings and UCB in LA, right?
Yeah.
Is that pretty much? And then just comedy clubs and.
Did you say Chicago?
Second City?
That's
right?
The big one.
Yeah.
And Groundlings, right.
And where did you kind of get plugged from?
Just stand-up. I did stand-up on Kilbourne.
Nice.
And they just sent my tape to SNL, and they watched it, and they were looking for a guy that did a lot of impressions.
Did you have impressions in your act for your set on TV?
Oh, yeah. I just, did, 9 of them. And,
any that you still do? Or was it
I do all of them still. It's the same shit.
No, but that's great though that they're.
I don't do all of them still. I don't do Gary Shandling really anymore.
Is that me? Do I look fat? It's the hair on the inside that counts.
That's good, man.
I want to love me, but I also want to love you. I can't do that through me.
I was the first comic to fuck Sarah Silverman. What?
You were?
Yeah, me.
That's cool.
No, not.
No, were you doing Shandling?
Yeah,
was Shandling fuck Sarah Silverman?
Yeah.
Really?
They went out for a while.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's hot to me.
Of course.
I enjoyed her.
Right?
I enjoyed her. She's very funny, and she's also very sexy. I am Gary Shandling.
I mean, and then just they got that, got a 5-minute tape of you, and then just said, congratulations.
Yeah, they flew me to New York. I had 2 weeks to prepare, and I just did I did 9 impressions on the stage.
And Lauren's in the audience, which seems super intimidating because he's either laughing or he's not. And I hear
But I was just like, I worked out like, I did like, I must have done 4 hours of cardio over the course of 2 days.
Oh, shit.
I was so relaxed when I walked in there.
It's awesome.
I was like, real calm. And then, so I just did it, you know, and just did all this stuff. And then I was leaving the stage. I was going to leave out the door, and he stopped me, and he's like, good job.
did he?
That's it.
Did he give you any attention right there, or did you have to like wait a week or two? Or
no, but I knew something was up. I knew I was at least coming back if there was such a thing, and then I just got on the plane and flew back to. I was flying into San Diego to do the Comedy Store in La Jolla, and
nice.
I landed, and I got two phone calls, and they were from each of my management, two of them. and they called and they said, you know, and then they go, you
how do they break that news? That's a
well, I was in a car full of people, and they go, you got the show, and I go, I got it, and then everyone cheered, and then they go, but yeah, but you can't tell anybody. Well, so these guys know.
Well, right.
What was it, at least people you knew, or were you just in like a winning?
Yeah, just yeah, a bunch of people.
Or were you like the next stop, like a bunch of Muppets were picking you up on their way to Hollywood, and you were just one of those guys?
Yeah, I got into a car full of Muppets.
that's got to be insane.
That's a ridiculous phone call to get, man.
Well, because there's only so many moments in your career where you know after that particular moment that your career is going to change.
Yeah.
And that's got to be one where you're just like, wow, things are not going to be the same after this moment right now.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty awesome. And then I remember my mom saying to me afterwards, she goes, well, you know, now you have to do it because the whole goal is to get there,
right? And then you're
now
on.
You have to do it,
fuck, right?
You've
yeah.
got to.
So how much do you enjoy the phone call of like, yeah? And then is it immediately like,
yeah, you're a little nervous.
Fuck, okay.
But I always knew like the first year you're.
Background.
You don't do any. You just hang out the first year. That's what I was told. Like, you know, the first year's a gimme.
Yeah. Did you pitch a lot? I mean, how did? Because you're in the writers' room, right? And it's just fucking ideas. And you're just pitch. But you have to pitch as a new guy, right? Because you need to. Be
yeah.
Like,
everyone pitches. Yeah.
And you pitch stuff with you in it, or you like, hey, this would be funny for that guy.
Yeah. You say I'm working on this character that you know, has a hole in his head and his you know, fish feet and. I thought you could play his brother or something stupid like that.
Yeah, right? That'll work.
Did you write the Willy Wonka Baldwin?
No. Al Gore Willy Wonka? No,
well, that one's great, but the one with Baldwin? Baldwin.
No, I know. We didn't do it with Al Baldwin.
You did. Where? Amy Poehler? Oh, it was Al Gore. That's right. It was okay, Al Gore. I was thinking Al Baldwin. They have
they
similar
do
vibes.
Look so similar. Right?
Can you do an Al Baldwin impression?
Alec Baldwin? He's sort of like, hello, how are you?
It's very intense.
Very attractive. Hello, Tina. I'm Alec Baldwin.
Oh, he's shaking his head. Yeah.
I got to work on that one, but it's like, I made some fudgicles. from scratch. You're really gonna like them. I'm gonna make some more if they go over well.
And then you have to end it with calling your daughter a fat pig.
You fat fucking cunt.
Yeah. And you know what? She, but that sketch was, I mean, that was fun, right? I mean,
would sure.
You, yeah. Do you ever see that sketch? So it was Gore was coming in to tell, to tell you that the numbers in the factory and everything, like business wasn't good and you might have to sell it. And he
yeah, he's like, William, we might have to sell this Willy Wonka chocolate factory. I'm Al Gore. No, we can't. We can't get rid of it. It's all I have. It's all I want.
But then you tell me you just gave it to Charlie, right? You're like, don't worry.
I've already given it to Charlie. He won, Charlie. Yes, yes, yes. Good, fine. On we go.
Wow.
You won, Charlie.
That is a Gene Wilder impression,
dude,
everybody.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
kinda
great.
I'm kind of working Gene Wilder into not just doing Willy Wonka, because that's what I do on stage with Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
But like maybe like what were his stories like about Richard Pryor? Because he doesn't do it. He doesn't drink or anything.
Yeah, because he did a few movies with Richard. He must have been stir crazy and whatnot.
He must have been able to take in like everything, what was happening in the room. Like, well, Richard, he came in with an absorbent amount of cocaine. I was drinking a Sprite, which I enjoy, and some Cheetos. The hookers were nice. They weren't good looking. They weren't good looking. No, you ruined it.
You drank the fizzy lifting drinks.
The hookers drank the fizzy lifting drinks.
I
fucked the fat one. The long story short, enjoyed myself.
Is it weird that I feel strangely attracted to you as a midget because you're doing a Willy Wonka voice?
It is kind of interesting. Like, I'm on the same level.
Right. Like, I'm just looking at you like I feel like I should be moving in a synchronized motion with other midgets right now.
Right. You're waiting for him to tell you what to do with the everlasting gobstopper.
Right. You should bust out that whistle. You know, and then... Yeah, exactly. And then I just
boom,
go into it.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, my God. I just got hard on. What?
That song gets you so excited.
When
you
it hear does.
Boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom,
I'm
boom.
Like, okay.
When do I start singing and who
ready?
Do I look at?
Ready. Okay, like I'm just set, dude. There's certain things. There's certain things. That
now,
that's
how old were you when you saw that movie?
Oh, my God. I was probably about five.
Okay.
And at that point, I was able to recognize that the Oompa Loompas looked like me. So I was like, oh, my God.
That's a fucking crazy moment, man.
Right. When, like, one day.
But they're orange.
Yeah. So then, like, you're five. So you think that that's your future.
You think that's what you're going to have to
right.
do.
Right. So I'm looking at the Oompa Loompas.
Have to do or get to do.
Have to do because wow. like there isn't a lot of dwarf representation on television sure. and in movies, so I would look that and see that, and I remember looking at my mom and dad going, wait, so I have to look at I have to work at a chocolate factory
eventually,
like that's my thing. I have to do that.
To realize at some point to not only because you know more often than not you go through life and you go I want to do this and you realize there's steps to take to get there,
mm-hmm.
but when you see something at that age when it's just and you think like I have to do that, so not only is your life's like laid out for you, but if you're gonna work at a chocolate factory
and I have to learn how to dance
and learn how to dance and sing
and it doesn't look like they're having any fun.
No, because the look smile. On their face was just.
Oh, now we got to get the fat kid out of here.
Yeah. Just that
what
kind of thing.
What do you get when a fat kid drowns in a pool of chocolate? Smiles turn to frowns, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
There's no way of knowing where my finger's going. I know where it's going. I know exactly where it's going. It's going in your asshole. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Perverted Wonka.
Oh my God.
I love that. I
fucking love you, man.
I mean, one thing that I've always wanted to know with the whole Saturday Night Live thing is you hear these epic stories of like after parties and like, I guess after every live episode. Like, because I guess just like with all that stress of putting together
it's nuts,
a
right?
live show in a week, that's got to be.
I read that
like
SNL. Did you ever read the book that was.
Well,
like,
he lived it.
Right. But like, I mean, it sounds like. I
heard some of it, yeah.
I mean, you can probably attest to this. Is it really? I mean, so you're meeting on Monday. People pitch all sorts. I mean, hundreds of ideas. You probably pick a ton of them to actually write to write and form into sketches, and then dresses Wednesday, and then a bunch of them get cut before fucking Saturday, right? I mean,
yeah, your week's over like Tuesday night. By the time you wake up Wednesday, that's your fate.
Right.
Because you read the stuff. It's already, whatever it is already out there. The material is already.
There's no room for written. Ads or improvs or.
Not unless you're, you know.
There's no improv live, right? I mean,
if something. It is if the cue card gets dropped or, like, yeah, something happens.
Does Lauren want you to kind of, like, address that and kind of, like.
No, you just keep going.
He doesn't want people to know that a cue card got dropped and you have
no.
to come up.
And by the way, I've never seen a cue card get dropped.
Right, okay.
I thought I'd just throw something out there. Yeah. But, yeah, it's exhilarating, you know. I was never really in, like, I was in one, not as in, like, five sketches. I was, like, a lot. And then,
you know,
I've been in sketches where it's, like, they're back-to-back and, you know, they rip stuff off your head and, you know. And
that's the crazy part, when you have to go.
That's the craziest part is knowing you got to go perform in about 2 minutes and they're just ripping stuff off you and you're just trying to remain still.
Putting a wig and spirit gum for a mustache, a completely different thing.
Yeah.
How's the mindset? Is that, I mean, are you freaking
out?
Out?
Like, I just pretend like I'm like a cat burglar. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Like, I'm just a cat burglar, and I'm just going to remain still until Mrs. Jigowitz leaves the room. She heard her. You know, I'm just kidding.
I was totally.
I was in there. I was in the moment.
These are the stories that you don't hear about.
No, but I just remember, like, just. Pretending you're really cool. I just enjoyed how cool it was. Like, all these people
you're
are
confident.
Fucking touching me and grabbing on me.
You were soaking up every moment, it seems like. And you're also a very, like you're confident in your abilities and your performing, and you could always you see that in your stand up, but you could tell that in your. So I'm sure when you were like, oh, I got five sketches tonight, you're like, fuck yeah, I got five sketches, and yeah. they're gonna be great, and I know what I'm doing, and I'm all my impressions are good, and my, I mean,
yeah.
Were there any particular people that when they were hosting, you got really excited, like, oh heck yeah, this person's coming right. back, or this is
De Niro is awesome. De Niro was just like unbelievable.
Is wow. he did he a lot of talk in between stuff, or you just
well,
tell
you know,
him what to
they,
do?
They kind of prepped you on him. They go, well, don't, you know.
They do that for each celebrity.
Don't try to get his autograph or, like, you know.
Well, yeah.
Don't try. But I mean, like, it, just in general, don't try to get it. Like, don't try to, like, you know, whatever. So, but don't talk to him.
Don't try to do an impression of him to him.
Don't bother him. I think that I do remember them saying, like, don't bother him. Not to me. They didn't just say me, but, like, everyone was like,
Jeff, enough. All right. He's
but I knew you could talk to him. Like, if you were in a scene with him, I knew you could probably say something to him. You know, I knew, sure, he could. And he probably doesn't want to be isolated.
Right.
So I remember I wanted to say something to him, and I was in this sketch where it was this Peter Pan sketch where he was playing Peter Pan. Yeah. And I was like the little boy.
Yeah, I remember that sketch.
I was in that one, and I remember just walking over to him, and I was just like, so, you know, you having a good time? And he just said to me, he goes, my feet are sore. Very tired. Pavement.
Well, sounds like walking.
Just the pavement. Yeah, I don't do it. Yeah, that's what he talked about, how
just very
feet
minimal.
Were sore.
Jesus. And well, then what do you say to that? What do you say? You're like, oh, yeah, sorry about
so
that.
I hear you have an African-American wife. And, no, I didn't say that's
well,
a
you
real
know,
cool move.
You saw that as a lead-in. He said, my feet are sore. You thought, well, obviously he wants to talk about his black
he's
wife.
He's going to massage his feet.
And you go, how black is she? He goes, just a little bit. A little bit.
Just a little bit.
A little bit black.
A little bit.
Who would you say was, like, maybe the hardest host to work for in terms of, like, really getting them to
yeah,
be funny?
Some
or
celebrities
really
are coming in that
Jeff
are...
Jeff Gordon?
No comedy bones in his body, right?
I don't think so. But, I mean, he was a nice, real nice guy.
For sure.
But this, like, I remember, like, we did, like, for me that week, I did, like, Gary Busey.
Mm-hmm.
I did Gary Busey, and they made him a waiter. Like, I don't remember if he even said anything in the thing. And
wait, you were Busey as the waiter?
I was Busey, and they made Jeff Gordon a waiter.
Right, okay.
So that's what they do. They'll kind of minimalize the host.
What did you do in the sketch?
I was just, they did that dating show. Or remember the limousine pulls up, and it's like they put you on a date with somebody.
Oh, right.
I don't know, Limidate maybe or something like that?
Okay.
And then I was, the girl matched up with me, Gary Busey.
What is that?
AIDS walk. You can't walk AIDS off. You gotta run it off.
I never said that.
I was gonna say, I do not remember that line.
That's my favorite thing to say is Gary Busey.
Oh yeah.
He said that once.
Did he really?
I mean, as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, with a guy like Busey is, you could say, yeah, he totally said AIDS walk.
Yeah, sky's the limit.
I was in the parking lot of a Frito-Lay factory getting a hand job from what I hope was a circus clown. It's either a circus clown or some sort of horse.
Oh, my God. Well, we have just scratched the surface with Jeff Richards.
Absolutely.
When we come back, we're going to talk more SNL stories, get into his Mad TV days, how he started stand-up, and a lot more.
I think we're going to bring back Celebrity
Seductions,
too. And
Celebrity Serenades.
Celebrity Serenades.
Close out. I'm sure we might hear some Gene Wilder serenading women at a bar. This is About Last Night. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Cause I'm TNT. I'm dynamite. TNT. And I'll win the fight. TNT. I'm a power load. TNT. Watch me
back to About Last Night
on the Toad Hop Network.
Coming back with the Alice in Chains. Yeah.
You know, it's I love this song, but I couldn't tell you one of his lyrics.
Just what, do you know? Just that. Hold down time, just like rat.
Does he have actual lyrics, Alice in Chains?
Somewhere the phrase "Man in the Box" is said. I'm guessing. Song title, you know, maybe.
Whose lyrics are more tough to make out, his or Eddie Vedder's?
And oh, jeez. Vedder.
Here's my burrito bower.
Speaking of music.
That's a, what a great segue,
my
Jeff.
God.
We are here
the voice,
with,
yeah, the voice you are hearing
one
is
of my favorite people on the planet, Jeff Richards.
Jeff Richards, alum of both Saturday Night Live and Mad TV.
You can follow him on Twitter at TastyJeff. His website, TastyJeff.com. His podcast, Def1F.
At Def1F, Def1F.
Where can you find
podcast
that on your website?
On iTunes.
On iTunes. But Jeff, most recently, you are known for your music abilities, which I had no idea you did, and I'm fucking glad that you are doing them, because you made an album called Rain Makes Me Wet, and, well, I mean, why did you do this? First
well,
of all?
First off, I never wanted to be a pop star.
and, comes the territory, man.
I think when you're faced with well, that reality, you one or two things happen. You either get in a fetal position and beg for mercy, or you put on the glitter and you go forward. Well, and that's kind of what I did. And these are songs that speak of youth and violence, and, as well as
together.
Eternal light.
Now, one of my favorite songs on your album is called "Someday You Will Die." And the first time I heard you sing it live was when we did that show at on Pico at the not the Mint. What's it called? The Door. It was a one word, the something.
It was
the followed by a noun.
Right.
Gotcha.
And you did it, and people fucking loved it. At first, they were like, "Wait, what?" And then like the lyrics are so funny and it's catchy, dude. I was singing it for like I don't know, a couple weeks afterwards. And then, you know, I moved on with my life.
Do we have a clip of that?
Can we turn it
Can we turn it on a little?
No, Someday You Will Die.
Yeah.
And first of all, now, how did this, as it's playing, give us, like, how did this song, obviously it speaks someday we will all die, sure, but.
First, let's listen to it. Louder.
Love the pop 80s beat. It's like a Casio keyboard.
You'd be thrown from a cliff or get buried alive to catch fire and burn. That you drive, or out on a lake, just swimming along. The last thing you see are the lights from the jet ski. Crash on a motorcycle.
I'm smiling.
Going too fast. Punched in the face by a bouncer named Trash. Swallowed by a snake.
Trash.
What can you do? If it happened to Jesus, it will happen to you.
Someday you will dawn.
I love the auto-tune crescendo.
Auto-tune?
Yeah, right?
Fucking dare you.
That's Richard's vibrato, man.
It's that metallic just, vocal cords, baby.
Is that just you, like, pounding your throat? Someday you will die.
That's I drink lead.
I want to get to the horse part, though. That's one of my favorite lyrics.
That's at the end.
Is it?
I mean, I don't care. Play the rest of the song. No, I wrote these songs after I got dumped by my girlfriend. And I don't think she ever liked when I would do songs, so I just kind of stopped doing them.
Wait, so you didn't write songs when you were with her?
No. For 5 years, I didn't write any songs.
What?
And then,
so
I
you
must
are a
have
true
always,
musician.
I must always thought... Here's this.
Alright, that's good.
No, I always liked doing songs. I always wanted to do songs, and then... So then I just kind of like burst out of... You know, the breakup with writing these songs, and I met this dude, Ben Seward.
Yeah.
You know, Ben.
That's who you did these
songs? He did all the music for most of them.
Are you
serious?
A couple
tracks he didn't, but...
He's uber talented, man.
He's really good. And so he'd, like, come up with this... He'd, like, give me, like, a track, and then I would just, like, write lyrics for it. Kind of go like that.
It's awesome. But you really... Fun. But, I mean, that's, like, a true musician thing, right? You have some sort of heartbreak or pain, and then you write songs out of it.
Yeah, and you write songs about your dick. Yeah. and unicorns and stuff, yeah.
Well, dude, hey, man, that's how Seal started, so.
It's how he's starting again, too. He's got to start over, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, him, Heidi called it quits.
Yeah.
And you said, like, before the breakup, you didn't do songs, or she didn't like you doing songs?
I remember
or,
what
like,
I did. I just didn't do any for, like, uh-huh. 5 years. I don't remember what was going on. I think there was always such a juvenile direction to go if you're like a mm-hmm. comedian.
Yeah.
And you're like, when people go, I'm doing music, they go, why don't you just like not do anything?
Like, you have a guitar, you can like, be a guitar guy.
Because where are you going to go with that?
Yeah.
But my whole thing is like, I don't really care where I go. I just
sure.
want to make songs and music videos and have fun.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you know, it's almost like taking a yoga class to a bodybuilder. You
sure.
know, sort of. Most people go, why are you doing that? I go, well, maybe I just don't want to lift weights for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and you're to move around.
Dude, you're a creative guy, and there's so many different muscles that come with that. And so this was something that you hadn't done before, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, I want to see if I can fucking do
well,
it.
I did a song called What's a Motherfucker Gotta Do to Get His Ass Eaten Out Around Here. Oh, I spent $7,000.
Where can we find that?
It's a music video. It's out there. I spent $7,000 on it. I was at the height of my insanity right after SNL, just smoking tons of weed every day. And I'm like, I think this is a. I heard a black dude in the subway say, "What's a motherfucker gotta do to get his ass eaten out around here?" And I went, "That's a song." And did this song, this crazy music video. And
that was one of the beggars on the subway, and he tried to give him money. He's like, "I don't want money."
Yeah.
Why do I want money? What can I do with that? I just want to get my ass eat.
You don't know what I need my ass. Do I need to make a sign that says knees ass eaten?
I love that motivation.
Will suck dick for ass eating. Do I need to make that sign?
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't know. That's
break
a,
up.
Well,
fuck
I'm glad
that
you made these songs instead of the typical like you know like dashboard confessional like. Like super whiny and like we had a good run. It was super fun, but I miss you. I miss you.
Kill yourself,
right? Yeah. Fucking sad. And girls go, he's a good guy. He's because he misses her.
He misses her,
right?
He does.
His emotion.
That's what they fuck.
So much that he put it down in song.
I mean, you know, I'm
that's
a sensitive
be
dude.
Good.
I'll cry every now and then, but I when the guys are, it's just like, come on, man, like. Plus two, you, like I don't know. I don't know how much feeling is actually coming through in that song. I think a lot of it's the writing. They're like, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like it's got a lot. Of, like that's yeah, that sounds like something I probably went through.
Yeah, if you're just like, well, let's just write a goofy song about people dying in my dick.
Sure,
that
I just
works.
Find it. I just don't understand how people can even why people want to sing like that. Like what comes through you that. That's
sure.
how you are.
Nickelback. Look at this photograph. Every time I need a mermaid death. Turns down to take a bath.
Right. I mean, I guess it's just kind of the same thing that we do on stage, because, you know, we all tell jokes about stuff that happened in our lives that hurt. Now we're trying to make it to kind of mask it, but like we mask it through jokes, which are actually bring joy to people.
Right.
They do just depressing songs that don't have a funny spin or good ending, or just like we're just sad now.
Right.
Yeah. I remember how miserable I was when this event happened in my life. Let's relive that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, but hey, to each his own. And I guess that gets women depressed enough to bang strangers in bars.
That's exactly what it does.
And for them,
musicians have a great hook.
Yeah.
Do you want to perform these songs in like theaters? Like, is that like a dream, or is this like again like a fun thing you're just doing right now? And if they're good enough songs to like, if you got a, you know, when you get a special or whatever, to like incorporate with, or a show, right?
I don't know how, because they're not really jokey. And I think when you do shows, when you do your stand-up and then you do songs, these are more like just kind of eccentric songs that are like...
Because the music's catchy.
Like you stand back and the whole thing is funny, not mm-hmm. like you're like, ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, there are parts that'll make you laugh hard, but that's about it.
Right.
I don't know. I just kind of wanted to be... fun, you know, unusual and catchy, you know.
Right.
That's sort of what I kind of like. I like the Talking Heads, you know. I like the Talking Heads, like they might be giants and
right.
stuff.
Well,
so
Jeff,
it's more towards comedy, but it's, you know, it's whatever.
Jeff, as you've been sitting here, there's been one question that I've been dying to ask you, and that's when you were on Mad TV, how long did you know Bobby Lee before he showed you his dick?
Well,
that's a million-dollar
question.
That's really why we brought you here, by the way. We just want
to
know.
I used to work the door with Bobby Lee at the Comedy Store.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Your stand-up.
I knew
we
both knew each other before either of us were on either show.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
In San Diego?
I knew him in San Diego.
Is that where you're from?
No, I'm from San Francisco, Walnut Creek. No, but we knew each other at the same time, and we both became regulars kind of around the same time. You can't see his dick. And
are you
I don't
kidding
know
me?
If that's because of the abundance of pubic hair or just the height of it. And I say height because it stands there limp. You know how something just stands there limp? It's not like I stared at his dick.
Wait, his pubes stand there limp, or his dick?
His
I've never heard
pubes are a
pubes
fortress around, you know, like the fountain out front in here in Universal City?
Sure. Yeah.
How it just shoots out water?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like that. Anyway,
I thought you were going to say, when I see the Universal City Fountain, I think of Bobby Lee's pubes.
But he would always pull, like, Bobby would always pull that thing where he'd stick it and pull that Silence of the Lambs thing where the dude in Silence, he'd kind of just stick it
between his legs
and cross his legs. And then just have the, you know, real weird look on his face.
Right.
Is she like a great big fat woman?
Well, and the only reason why I asked you that question is because I knew Bobby Lee probably about 7.5 seconds before he showed me his dick.
Yeah.
We were in a car going to a gig, and he goes, and I just go, hey, Bobby, my name's Brad. I'm a big fan. He goes, have you seen my dick yet? That was literally the first words out of his mouth. Like, have you seen my dick yet? I was like, no, I'm just meeting you. I'm not seeing it. You've got to see it. And then he just takes it out.
You're like, you don't even know my favorite color yet. Let me wait a couple days before I see your genitals.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like some sort of interaction should happen first.
I don't think it's like dysfunction as
as
it's like
he likes
you're
to
not
going to
forget me.
Yep.
And
I haven't.
This,
dude, he's all about
and this
getting
doesn't happen
out of
all
people.
The time. Yeah, he's just like a Howard Stern in a way, really.
For sure.
A physical Howard Stern.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know that Asians had purple dicks.
Yeah. Well, that could have just been that day. Could have got injured.
It literally looked like he just got done fucking Grimace from the McDonald's, and that's like he showed it to me right after that.
Let's go on record that is the first Grimace penis reference that has been made on About Last
God,
Night.
I hope it's not the last, though.
It's not the last, man. How many McDonald's characters, and that's an interesting thing to bring up, how many McDonald's characters actually have genitals? The Hamburglar?
Does he?
See? That's why I just asked
the
question.
Well, you know he does.
Does he?
I don't
know. No, he does because he had little Hamburglar kids. Remember they had those little like Hamburglar kids?
Dude, yeah, you can adopt Hamburglars.
You can adopt Hamburglars.
Fuck yeah. What do you work at the fucking...
Is that where sliders come from? like little Hamburglars? Is that how that works? I don't know.
And Ronald definitely has a dick because
he's a creepy clown.
He's a creepy clown. He could be a serial killer.
He for sure is. Could be.
Probably is.
And any, like, when you're doing Mad TV, and then as opposed to SNL, were there any like main differences in terms of like maybe a production schedule?
Well, Mad's scripted, right?
Yeah. Well, they're both scripted.
Right.
One's on TV and the other one's somewhere else, right?
No, but I mean, like, pre-taped is what I meant to say.
Half is pre-taped, half is in front of an audience.
Oh, cool.
A live audience, but not live to your TV set at home.
Gotcha.
But,
did you enjoy one more than the other?
Yeah, of course, SNL. And it was fun to get SNL, too, after Mad TV, because it was like, haha, see you guys later.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You know, but, you know, it's just one of those things. There's like, you know, but that was the first thing was Mad TV, so that was just outrageous, you know.
Were there some characters
wearing my vest that says Mad TV on it to the improv, like, hey, look at this.
Fuck yeah.
Because you're just ridiculous when you get something. When you're young like that. I was like 25, so.
Oh, shit. And how? Where was Mad in its seasons at that point when you got it?
Ooh, I don't actually know.
Okay. But it was still a big deal.
Over 8 seasons.
Now, were there characters and impressions you did on Mad that you couldn't, that they were like, hey, these are ours, man?
No, I don't. I mean, if I did like a character, it wasn't like a big character. It was just like a cop coming to the rescue for something, or right. You know, something like that. But I mean, I just did impressions. I did like Letterman and Louis Anderson and Gary Shandling and stuff like that. But it was more nerve wracking that situation because you know, there weren't cue cards or anything like that, and I never really did theater.
Oh, really?
So
stand-up was your only live performance experience.
Yeah. So I was a little intimidated at first.
Wow. And then what did you do with, like, that first big check? Did you have any, like, dumb purchases?
That's a good question.
Like when you start, like, oh, my God, I'm on TV.
Because I would buy a Papa Shot basketball hoop, maybe a Slurpee machine.
Well, I bought a car, like, way too quickly. Like, as soon as I had, like, $25,000, I bought a car right away.
What kind?
I bought like a white BMW. White. I got a good deal on it. Just convertible BMW, you know. Yeah.
There you go. You want something to drive around and
then I
show off the money.
Just totally smashed it into this other car.
You totaled it?
Yeah, I just totaled it. And I got out of the car.
Did you start acting like Gary Busey just to see if you get away with it?
Well, it was totally my fault, so.
Well, yeah, that's why you act like Gary Busey.
It's my fault.
and then just like,
it makes
typical.
Things even worse. The woman gets out of the car and she's got like a fish hand.
What?
And she had like
of
one
course,
of those fish
it's a limp
hands.
Hand where it's like it's shorter than a normal hand.
But it was also, it looked like the mouth of that character on Futurama. Thorberg?
Oh my God!
Yeah, I felt bad. It was
that was the worst impression ever.
Well,
but whatever.
That's the worst. Yeah, because
my
when you,
fault.
Of course, it's already your fault. And then the person gets out and they're limping, and she's got a fish hand. Maybe she's got eaten by it. She's the chimp lady with no face. Like, really, man? I already feel bad because I hit you with the car.
Yeah, she's got no face yet. It's my fault somehow.
Yeah, yeah. And she goes, really, you're gonna hit me? I can't even. I don't have a face. And you're gonna hit me.
And you're gonna hit me. And then I'm like amazed. Like, how do you even know to look at me? Like, you're not looking at me, but you're like. Looking at
me. She's like, oh, really? Just know everything about people without faces? Is that what you do, too? You assume?
Yeah.
You're an assumer? Is that your name? Jeff the assumer? I just know my name's Jeff. Oh, I know.
I can see your license. It's in your wallet.
And this was... But then, thankfully, this was like the days before TMZ and Twitter and...
Just before 9/11, yeah. Sorry. What?
Hey, I'm glad that you always remember. You know, that's
don't
good.
Forget, actually, when I moved to SNL, or moved to SNL, when I moved in at SNL, when I had to go there as a two, it was two weeks before 9/11.
Oh, no kidding.
That was kind of weird.
So were you?
My first day was supposed to be 9/11. We were doing a table read, and everyone was supposed to come into the office, and it was 9/11.
Are we buzzing?
And
is there a fly
anyway,
in the studio?
That was kind of crazy.
That's, I mean.
That was 9/11.
So you must have thought that.
And that was the Reese Witherspoon, Paul Simon episode, right?
Dude, that was...
That was one of those powerful moments on television.
You can't even sum that up, what that was like.
Because you literally had the guys straight from Ground Zero on stage, right?
And...
During that Paul Simon song.
Funny story about Rudy Giuliani was I was peeing next to him in the urinal.
I love the way it's going.
I was just peeing, and I was... Look over at him, and it's like The urinals are like just right next to each other.
Those things happen at SNL all the time, right? You're like, hey, it's Snoop Dogg. What's up?
And I just thought, well, I might never get to say something to this dude ever in my life again. So I should take a moment. I'm sorry. So I just said, like, I was like, how's it going? Ask him how's it going. Like,
days after 9/11.
You don't want to be talked to and pee's coming out of your dick. No. Sure.
Dude, bathroom small talk might be the most uncomfortable thing. I was at the parlor 2 weeks ago, and this guy goes, hey, is it just me or are these urinals too small? I go, I don't know, man. I don't want to talk right now. And then he goes, and then he keeps talking, and he goes, well, it's probably me. I just have a small dick. And then me feeling uncomfortable because he's already making me engage because there's nobody else there. So right. If I don't respond, I seem like an asshole. So he goes, oh, it's probably me. I got a small dick. And I consider myself a nice, decent human being. So, you know, and all my relationships, my girlfriend's dependent on me to make them feel better and whatever. So with that instinct coming in, he goes, it's probably me. I got a small dick. I go, nah, no, you don't, man.
Whoa. What?
And then I just go,
what am I saying right now?
And then I was like, oh, you trapped me. Like, he fucking.
At least you didn't say it's perfect.
But then he walks
the
out.
The symmetry is wonderful.
I almost wanted to chase him and go, I mean, you probably do, man, because I don't fucking know about your dick size.
Yeah.
I don't think about that.
I want to get a second opinion.
Yeah. Well, now we would like to ask you to do one of our, essentially the only real bit that we have right now. And that's celebrity. What are we calling this?
Celebrity serenades.
Celebrity serenades.
Yeah. So if we want to get that music going, and then we'll just. So basically, Jeff, we're going to go through. We'll do a few rounds, and you can turn up a little.
And basically, for our new listeners and for Jeff, this is when we basically impersonate celebrities, going into a bar, a little jazz club after hours, and what they would sound like when they were hitting on a woman.
But not, you know, and up to your interpretation. I mean, you know, but this is a bar where sleazy men go into. And
sure, these guys, they're brought to that level.
Sure.
They might be wearing suits, but inside they're dying to wear an Affliction shirt.
Like last episode, I had Splinter from the Ninja Turtles ask a girl, hello, I saw you from across the way and couldn't help think to myself, cowabunga, I would love to do some anal with you. By the way, I have 4 sons who would also love to do anal with you. And I gave them all names. Leonardo, Donatello,
Pablo Francisco.
Nice little shout out to Pablo there.
Colin Firth. In a world. Yeah, Splinter does
so
like
should I say
so we'll start
is?
Up. No, pick your first one. Who's it going to be? I think we preface it.
Dustin Hoffman?
Okay, perfect. So I'll play the bartender.
Okay.
That's how we do it. So the bartender sets you up, and Brad will be the girl.
Yeah.
Excuse me, miss. There's a gentleman here.
Yes,
that would like to buy you a drink.
Oh, my goodness. Hi, thank you for the drink.
How are you? How you doing? You having a good night so far?
Yeah. Is something wrong with your face?
Oh, I'm just excited to be here. Very excited to be here. Very attractive.
Thank you. You seem to be smiling a lot and having a good time. Is this your first time in this bar?
I got a rubber band on my cuff. You know what I'm talking about? I got a big, big, big rubber band on a real tiny little dick. You ever seen my movie Tootsie? Have you seen Tootsie?
No, I haven't seen Tootsie. What's in it?
What do you mean, what's in it?
It's not
a chocolate.
What happens in Tootsie?
I play a woman. Gorgeous woman.
Oh. I'm kind of into that.
I talk like this. I'll talk to you like I was... When I was in Tootsie, when I was playing the woman, I'll do the woman part. That would be my part.
Dr. Brewster? Try to prove some idiotic stereotype that macho and ugly women are masculine. Shame on you, macho shithead.
You like that?
Excuse me, miss. There's another gentleman here that would like to buy you a drink.
Oh, my God. I have people competing over me.
I think he said he owns a factory, some sort of factory, a candy shop or something. I don't know. Let him.
Do you want a candy shop?
Do you want a candy? Maybe you want a candy. That's a mixture of the two, isn't it?
I love
you
a candy.
Very attractive. How's that one go?
Oh, my God. That's so great.
Little surprise around every corner, but nothing dangerous. Or maybe it is a little dangerous.
Now,
having a nice evening.
Now, what would happen if Gene Wilder got really mad at the girl for not?
Sure.
You don't know me.
Wait, excuse me. So did you put a roofie in my drink?
I put whatever I put in your drink.
I don't really like your attitude right now.
Well, you're gonna like it in about a half hour.
Like
because
what?
It's a sedative. You lose. You're going to black out. I will rape you. It will get violent.
Will it?
Yes. Good. Fine. On we go. You want to put the duct tape on yourself?
Can I please have
you want to wrap it around your wrist?
You told me I could have some of your gum. That's all I'm saying.
A little surprise around every corner, but nothing dangerous. Except for the roofie you took.
Did you put in my fizzy lifting drink?
Don't start fizzy lifting drink!
I said good day, sir!
Good day, sir!
Oh, my God.
Dude, Charlie.
Grandpa Joe, what are you doing here?
Sir,
do it, Charlie.
This bar has a 50 and under age limit.
Do it, Charlie. You can do it, Charlie.
Yeah, Grandpa.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Why was Grandpa so in his face like that?
Go ahead, Charlie.
Because he was a sex addict. He was a freak. He wouldn't take that trench coat off, you know,
right.
He was freeballing it.
He hadn't been out of bed for 25 years, I think, right?
Plus, he's sharing the bed with three other people. The only time he stood up was to dance. So you have to imagine the amount of shit and piss that they just let flow through that mattress.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, sure.
So when no wonder he was waiting for something to get him out of bed. And so if it's, you know, hey, there's a man in a shop and he told me I could have it. I'm up.
Do it, Charlie.
All right, is there one more we can close out on?
Yeah.
Let's do Nancy Grace.
Perfect.
Okay. This is a
bartender?
Lesbian bar.
Yeah,
okay, apparently.
Lesbian bar.
Miss, this other woman, she seems... she's looking for something, and apparently she wants to talk to you about that.
Oh, great.
I'm looking for a bye-bye. Look at that beautiful, beautiful white blonde baby with blue eyes.
Thank you.
Missing the old bye-bye. That's a bye-bye. Oh, bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
I like there's little instances of Dr. Phil within Nancy Grace.
If you want to change your life, you got to make changes.
What kind of
in your life.
What kind of changes?
Life changes. Or changes of life.
I love it.
Look at that, bye-bye. That's a bye-bye.
That's what that shows. That Nancy Grace is always like looking for some white baby, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's never like a black baby. Never
an Asian baby. No, no,
never an Asian baby.
No.
Well, Asian babies are, they're the factories.
Take a look at that beautiful, perfectly chiseled face of that bye-bye. We're going to find it.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is great.
This has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
You got to come back anytime you want, man. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you.
The one and only Jeff Richards.
Jeff Richards, everyone.
Please follow him on Twitter at @TastyJeff, his website, tastyjeff.com. Pick up his album, Rain Makes Me Wet, on iTunes. You can see his podcast, Def Wanna F, with Matt Ralston on iTunes.
That's
Jeff,
everything, right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming here. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Brad's at Funny Brad.
At Funny Brad. We're going to be back next week with a brand new episode, so come on back for more about last night. And please, try to remember our names in the morning.
I forgot to say Josh Myrowitz.
Video worth watching.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.